Well, I have got some very, very strong news for y'all tonight. There comes a time in everybody's life where they got to kind of step out of one season and step into another. Amen. And so what I'd done is I wanted to do something. You know, some of y'all know that years ago that I was in the insurance business. Amen. And really years ago, being in the insurance business, I'm not saying this to brag or anything, but when I was in the insurance business years ago, during that time, I made enough money that that's what allowed me to step into full-time ministry. And really, off the money that I made in the insurance business, that was what I lived on for like the next 9 years. Really didn't have to take a salary from the church until here the past, I don't know, year and a half or so. And so anyway, as that started happening, I made a decision. I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to open up another insurance agency. Except for this time, I was going to do it a little different because this time I got a little more motivation, a little different motivation. And the motivation this time is I've got a daughter who's 19 years old, fixing to be 20. Got a son-in-law now. Got a daughter that's coming up. So not only did I want to do it, but I want to be able to do it and leave them a legacy. I know we want to leave a legacy of God, but I want to be able to leave them something also in the future. To where back in the day, if I would have had just a little bit, if I wouldn't have been just so gung-ho, I mean, I'm pretty gung-ho as it is, but I was so gung-ho back in those days, man, that I was just like, boom, gone, let's go preach the gospel, amen, and that was it, man. We took out, shut it down, and started preaching the gospel. So anyway, there comes a time in everybody's life where change has got to happen, and I'm at that time. So as I was going down the road yesterday in my old Dodge Goat, 1990 model, tire blew out. My spare tire was flat, sitting on the side of the road. Called a record, come and get me. And so I was sitting there thinking, and I'd been talking to Clover. I said, this change in my life is coming. And I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to have to get a new truck because I'm going to be driving a lot of miles in the insurance business. So I took my old Goat down to trade it in, and it was worth a lot more to me than it was to them. So I said, I'll keep it. So anyway, I say this to say to y'all with a very, very heavy heart, I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision on, it's almost like somebody losing, man, this is tough. I had to make a decision to keep driving the old Goat that got about 9 feet to a gallon. And sometimes parts of it would fall off. Amen. Joe Bass puts them back on for me. But it come down to where I could not have two payments. I know this ain't serious to y'all, but this is serious to me. It come down to where I could no longer have two payments. So I apologize to my fellow brothers. I was going to try to keep this in hiding. But in order to get my new truck, I had to trade in my motorcycle. I know. I know. I'm sorry. It was heart-wrenching. I know some of you do not understand this. Some of you do not understand the love affair that goes on between a man and his motorcycle. I know some of you out there in TV world, you may be even laughing at me. But I need your prayers, church. Hey, if Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days, amen. But anyway, pray for me. Because I see a fat boy in the future. Y'all know what a fat boy is, right? That's a motorcycle. That's a motorcycle. I was kind of wanting to go back to my fat boy anyway. After I get going again, amen? So I had to do that. Sometimes we got to make decisions. Ooh, I had a joke on that, but I ain't going to go there. I ain't going to go there. All right, let's go here. Let's get into the Word tonight. All right, let's get into this tonight. Tonight we're going to pick up on divination, the spirit of divination. Amen? Let me see here. Let me find my... So that's the reason I was late getting here. I had to get a truck that was going to be somewhat dependable. So, I got just a little pickup. What kind of truck did I get? I got one that you're really going to want to drive and ride in. I got one that you're really going to want to ride, drive. See? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Nate. Huh? Nah, yours just broke down. I get to keep my goat. I kept my goat. That's my work truck. That's one Joe Bass be using, haul tractors and all that stuff on. Amen. But yes, I bought a pretty red truck. That way, going down the road, we'll put the blood in white letters on the side. Amen. All right, we're going to talk about the spirit of divination tonight. We talked about it some last Thursday. I wasn't here on Sunday. Divination. Let me read to you a little bit about what it's about. In Greek mythology, the name is Pythian, which means serpent. That's where we get the word python. Pythian, the word python. Amen. What does a python do? Python swells up and chokes the life out of somebody. Amen. That's what a python does. And anytime a python kills an animal, amen, death does not always just happen quickly. Amen. Sometimes that python, it'll wrap around that animal, and it squeezes. And every time that animal breathes and takes a breath in, goes out, and then goes back in, that python gets a little tighter. And it gets tighter, and it gets tighter, until what ends up happening, it chokes the life out of the animal. Amen. And then he swallows it whole. Amen. And there's many, many things in our life. There's many, many things in the believer's life that we call ourselves believers. Amen. But we're involved in things that we don't recognize the danger of them up front. Amen. We don't recognize the danger that these things that we flirt with, that we find as entertainment, we don't recognize the danger up front. And what ends up happening is we allow them to stay around us. We allow them to be in our house. We allow them to be around our children. And we wonder why it seems like the life is just slowly getting choked out. Amen? And so divination, what this is, spirit of divination, it is the spirit of Python that Greek mythology believed dwelt in the region of Pytho on Mount Parnassus and was famous for predicting future events. In other words, this is what this Greek mythology, this spirit, they thought that this spirit could predict future events. Amen? And there's not but one that predicts future events. And who is that? That is God. He don't even predict them. He just knows them. Amen? He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. Amen? God knows everything that's going to happen before it ever happens. Amen? Matter of fact, it says our days were written out in the book of Psalms. Amen? So God knows. Amen? So when this spirit of divination through Python comes up and claims to be able to predict future events, that is something that is trying to compete with God. Amen? So as we look here, as we read on, it goes on, it says, for predicting future events, it says, Apollo killed this serpent, was called Pythias, and was celebrated as a foreteller of future events. All who pretended to tell future events were believed to be influenced by the spirit of Apollo Pythias. Now, here's what you got to understand. I believe this goes on much today, even inside the walls of the building that many people would call the church. Amen? I believe that we got many, many people today. And here's the deal. This spirit of divination, it's evil and it's demonic. Amen? It's evil and it's demonic, but many, many times it says good things. It says nice things. It says all the right things. Amen? And many, many times, and I'm not saying every single time, But I know many times within the church that we get people that stand up in front of a group of people and they got a word for this person and a word for this person and a word for this person and a word for this person, that person, that person, that person, that person, that person, got a word for every single person in the church almost. Amen? And just and it goes around. And we grab a hold of that so much that people lean toward that, grab a hold of that because they want something good in their life. Amen? And I'm going to show you tonight to where the spirit of divination can say the right things, but it's a demon that's doing it. Amen. The Bible says that even Satan himself appears as what? As an angel of what? As an angel of light. As an angel of something good. Amen. As an angel of light. So divination is definitely a spirit. The Bible tells us in the book of Leviticus, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. What is familiar spirits? Familiar spirits will be the things that fall under the spirit of divination. Now, let me say this, and I'm just touching on a few things because I wasn't here on Sunday, so I want to backtrack a little bit and just kind of highlight what is a familiar spirit. There may be some of you in here, amen, or you've seen it on TV, or you've seen it happen to where that you believe that one of your dead relatives has come and visited you and you've seen them, amen. That is not true. I'm going to tell you that straight up. I preached on it last week and showed it last Thursday night. In 1 Samuel, amen. There's many of us that there's people out there that believe, and let me tell you what a familiar spirit is. Just like a demon, demons, they know people, they see people, they study people, amen. And so when somebody dies, okay, and then we see some fortune teller or whatever it is on some TV show, and you got somebody sitting over there, and they're giving them deep, they're talking to them, a medium, amen, about one of their relatives, and then all of a sudden this medium becomes kind of the middle person between this demon and the person that they're talking to. Amen? And what this medium does is this medium will start saying things. This medium will start telling this person, oh, I sense that they love dogs. I mean, that's kind of stuff. Or I sense that they were really, really into the grandchildren and love the grandchildren. I sense it. And these people, what will they start doing? They'll start crying, and they're like, oh, my goodness, how did you know that? How did you know that? The way that they know that is because this familiar demon spirit that is working through this medium or whatever they call them is giving them information about their dead ones and what they're doing. That's why they call it a familiar spirit, amen? It's not the dead person, amen. It's not the person that went on. It is a demon that is acting like that person or giving information about that person in order to deceive the other one. Y'all understand that, right? Amen. The Bible tells us very, very clearly, amen. You go to the book of Luke chapter 16. Two people died. One went in the bosom of Abraham. The other one went straight to hell. And the one that went to hell, they wouldn't let him, nor would Abram go and give any information to his family still on the top side. Amen? So when we sat here, I want y'all to understand this. I say it out there. There might be people out there, you may just flip smooth out. And you may sit there and you say, I know what I seen. I know what I heard. I know what I, okay, yeah, you did. You may did see something. You may have experienced something. But I am here to tell you that it was not one of your dead relatives. It was a demon. Get into the Word of God and search it out. Because when we go back to the book of Samuel, if y'all remember, I taught in the book of Samuel last week about when Saul went and the witch summoned up what was believed to be the spirit of Saul. And then I took you over to 2 Chronicles, amen, and showed you that, or took you over to Chronicles and showed you that this was not Saul, but this is one of the reasons that Saul was killed, because he went and sought information from the soothsayer or from the witch doctor, amen. So this was a familiar spirit that came up and appeared to be Saul, appeared to be Samuel, but it was not Samuel at all. It was a demon lying and acting like he was something that he was not. Amen? Are y'all with me on that? And if you don't understand that, please go back and listen to last week's message on Thursday night. Amen? And I may just touch on it here a little bit. 1 Samuel 28, it says, in those days the Philistines gathered their forces for war to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, understand that you are men, that you and your men are to go out with me in the army. Now, so let's go to verse 4. And the Philistines gathered, I'm reading out of 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 4. And I'm just going through a few things that I touched on last week. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. I'm here to tell you, folks, you understand me, and you understand me very, very clearly on this. You must understand that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Amen? Saul is supposed to be a man of, well, not here. He had done fell away and all of these things. He had done turned his back from God. He had done turned his back on God. Amen. But I want you to understand something. When Saul seen the host of the Philistines that were coming against him, he become greatly afraid. And I want you to understand something, church, that it does not matter what comes against you. It does not matter what this world throws at you. If you are born again, if you are saved, if Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you, you are greater than anything that this world can throw against you. Why? Because the Bible says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the Bible says you have already overcome the world. Why have you already overcome the world? Because Christ overcame the world. Amen. We must understand that. You must know your authority. You must know the power that you walk in. You do not walk in simple man-made power. You do not walk in the power of your flesh. But if you are born again and saved, we need to be tapped into the Spirit of the living God. We need to be walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. And how do we become aware of the power of the Holy Ghost? We have got to have a knowledge of God. We have got to have a knowledge of what God has downloaded on the inside of us through His Spirit. And as we gain a knowledge of God and what He has done on the inside of you and me, you'll find out that the things in this world that once scared you, the things in this world that once stomped you, the things that are stopped you, the things in this world that caused you to draw back, you'll look back one day, and where things used to cause you to stop and go the other way, you're going to look back and see that's nothing more than an obstacle or a barrier where you can now measure your growth. Amen. You look back. I know that I got a sister sitting right here in Shauna. When she first got saved and come to the Lord, she was scared to death to stay in her own house at night. She would go sleep in her car in the parking lot of the place that her husband worked because she was so scared. But I've seen this woman over time stay in the Word of God. I've seen this woman over time. And it ain't by anything super, super special that she was doing. It was just by staying in the Word of God. It was by reading the Word of God. It was by gaining knowledge of the Word of God. And as she stayed in the Word of God, what does the Word of God say? That faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That those things that once scared her before, she can stay in her house now by herself. She walks around in her house claiming the blood of Jesus, pulling things down, casting things out, building things up. Amen. By the power of God. By the power. And I know that may not seem like anything big, but this woman, she used to sit here and she'd call me and my wife, and she'd be scared at night. She'd say, I can sense things, I can feel something, I can do, and that fear. And she never really felt that like she did at that time until she got born again and saved. Amen. And see, before she had seen things. See, because if you come out of that old dope world, amen, like many of us in here have, amen, I'm just going to let you in on a little secret. And some folks out there probably going to flip out on this too. But let me just take a little rabbit trail here. How many of you know what a fast is? How many in you, don't raise your hand. How many of you know what fasting for the Lord is? That is where you lay aside your meals, amen, and you take that time, just for a short explanation, you take that time when you fast, and if you lay aside breakfast and lunch and dinner, you spend that time praying and seeking God, amen, and you eat from the manna from heaven rather than the food on your plate, amen. And the whole purpose of a fast is to deny the flesh, amen, to crucify the flesh, and hopefully come in tune with God. Hear something from God, or get an answer, or whatever it may be, amen. And many, many times during a fast, people, I know I've went on some fast before, and usually after about the second day, you done lost your appetite for hunger. I know when God's told me to go on a fast, and it's been a fast that was called for me to do by God, that it was really pretty easy to do, amen. So what ends up happening, now you got to understand this, is that if you ain't ever been on this side of the world, you may not believe this. If you ain't ever been on this side, you may not understand this. But with people that do methamphetamines, there's something that happens. One of the side effects of methamphetamines is they do not eat. They do not eat. Amen. That's a side effect of methamphetamine. You stay up for days and you don't eat, okay? And then usually after a few days of staying up, amen, people start seeing stuff. They start seeing shadow people. They start seeing skits critters. I've known people back in the day that sat under their house, under their car, laid out on their belly with their guns loaded because they think that people are in the trees. They think that the police is coming to get them. And they sit here and they see these things. And people tell them, they say, oh, well, that's just your imagination. But I don't believe that. I believe they're really seeing into another realm. Because when you start putting drugs into your body, which is the Greek word of pharmakia, which is, amen, witchcraft, which is where we get the word pharmaceutical, amen, which is where we get the word. So you start taking these potions that have been made by man, and you start injecting them or inhaling them or snorting them, and you start putting them into your body, and then you go without, because that's such a dark and evil world, and then you go days without eating that God made us to do, that we're supposed to eat, and you go days without sleeping, and God made us to sleep, amen? I believe just like, except for the opposite, that when a man fasts for the Lord, that he starts receiving from the Lord. Amen. But when a person goes without eating and putting drugs and pharmakia and stuff into their body, now they went on a fast for the devil. And I believe that the things that they're seeing, they're really, really seeing it. They're demonic things. Amen. And then man tries to write it off. That's just your imagination. Amen. I can tell you a story about a time I was tripping on acid one night. And as I was sitting there looking at a campfire, and I sat there, and I remember we was at the Guadalupe River down in New Braunfels. And I remember I'm sitting there, and I kind of roamed off by myself, and I was looking at this campfire, and I was just kind of staring at it going, whoa. And all of a sudden, I seen this demonic thing come up out of it. And when that demonic thing come up out of it, it turned and looked at me and laughed and just went, whoom, and I mean, just went, whoom, right here. And I was like, what in the world was that? It happened three times. Three times. That happened. And I truly believe that was something that was grabbing a hold of me, amen, and that I did not have the power to break, because for the next several years of my life, even though I know I needed to be clean, I couldn't get clean. Even though I know I needed to change, I couldn't change. Even though I knew that things needed to happen in my life, within my own ability, within my own effort, and within my own strength, there was absolutely no way, no matter how hard I tried, that I could make the change happen, because your flesh is never going to be stronger than the enemy. It was not until I got born again, until I got saved, until the chain breaker, the yoke destroyer stepped into my life, amen, and then realized, I realized that, my goodness, how lost was I? How lost was I? Amen. So this spirit of divination, it comes through drugs. It comes through alcohol. Amen. Listen to me, folks. Parents, listen to me. If you got Ouija boards in your house, get them out. If you got tarot cards in your house, get them out. Amen? I don't know what all. If you got these little healing crystals, this little crystal garbage, yet people come up and they try to say things like this, give it to you, and say, this is a healing crystal. Say, no, that's a demon. Amen? Because there ain't nowhere in the Bible that says there's a healing crystal. There's no such thing as a healing crystal. There ain't but one healer, and his name is Jesus Christ, and it doesn't come through a crystal. It came through the cross of Calvary. Amen? And what do? We get these things. We get these games, Ouija boards, tarot cards, these little toys that you get at Toys R Us, that they call them eight balls, and you ask it a question and shake it. And I know all this thing looks innocent, amen, but the devil appears as an angel of light. He's not going to come in and say, this is of the devil. Try at your own risk. No, he's going to sell it as a toy. He's going to sell it as entertainment, because the Bible says that we become lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. The greatest way that the enemy enters into the life of a human being, I believe, is simply through the entertainment that the world has to offer. Amen? And I'm not saying that having fun is wrong. I'm not saying that entertainment is wrong. But make sure that your entertainment is clean and of God. Amen? There's nothing wrong with having fun. There's nothing wrong with watching a movie. There's nothing wrong with watching a TV show, as long as it's not steeped in the things that oppose God's ways. Amen? So, I don't know what else. Fortune cookies. You get them every time you go to restaurants. I just don't mess with that garbage. Why take the chance? Why take the chance? Amen? I know we sit there and say, oh, that ain't no big deal. Bible says stay away from it. Bible says ain't nobody out there predict your future. Amen. And what does he always do? Horoscopes. Are you a Cancer or a Gemini or a Taurus? What a church. That is nothing more than looking to the stars for your guidance rather than looking to the Word of God. I don't need nothing but the Word of God to lead me and to guide me. How come we find it easier to look at horoscopes? How come we find it easier to look at these things? But when it comes down to looking into the Word of God, the one that breathed life into us, the one that made us, all of a sudden we can't find any time for that. But we'll read horoscopes. We'll go to fortune tellers. We'll play all these goofy games. Why? Because the demon that's running your life is the very one that keeps you from getting to the Word of God. Amen? We must be aware of these things. And if you have been caught up in these things, you must repent. You must turn from it. You must turn from these things. Amen? Get away from it. And if you have been caught up in this stuff and you have never asked God to forgive you, you go to God, confess your sin, and the Bible says that He is faithful to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Many of us just throw this stuff out, but we need to confess it to God. Amen? And ask for forgiveness and strength and pray that the things that I've allowed into our life, that those things be broken loose and claim ignorance. Lord, I didn't know. Forgive me. Amen. Wash me. Cleanse me. And every demon that's come into my house through this open door right now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over you and I command you to pack your bags and get all your little imps and get out of my house in the name of Jesus Christ. Man, I remember when I'm just telling y'all a few stories. I remember when I first got saved. And I ain't many things I'm scared of. I mean, I've been in some situations that make most people's toenails in here curl. Telling you. I've been shot at. I was standing in front of a building one night as some people drove by and hung a 12-gauge shotgun out the window from here to that wall and went, boom! And the window behind me got blowed out directly behind me. And I'm standing there going, what was that? And then it dawned on me. Guess who they were shooting at? Shot right at me and the window behind me blew out. Not a BB hit me. Yeah. I've been in places that'll make your toes curl. Amen? I've seen things. And I never really come. When I got saved, I remember I would sit down in my house. Me and my wife was split up at that time. And I'd sit down, whether it was at the house because we couldn't be around each other. She's gone, I'd be there, or vice versa. And I'd sit down and I'd open up my Bible to read it. And all of a sudden, Jacoby, when I'd open up my Bible and read it, I would feel this thing come into the room just. And this thing, a fear to where I wouldn't even want to look behind me. Have you ever been laying in somewhere and there's such a fear, such a presence of fear that you don't even want to turn and look that way? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? That's a devil. That's not the Holy Ghost. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, to where I'd be sitting there reading my Bible, and this thing would enter in, and I could feel it. And I'd be scared to even look behind me. And I remember it would take me, and I'd muster up this was a paralyzing fear. And I remember I would muster up enough strength, and at times I'd turn my head, and I'd look this way. And when I turn and look this way, I'd see something run around the corner. Anybody ever seen that? See, y'all think y'all just seeing stuff. Amen? And I was sitting there, man. I was like, what is that? And I start praying, and I start praying, and I start praying. And guess what? It'd leave. Then I've told y'all the story about the one that come in my bedroom, wake me up at night sometimes. I've done told y'all that story. So all of a sudden, there was a lady that used to clean our house. And she walked by one day, and she goes, Kevin? She goes, you need to go check out one of the rooms in this house. There's some stuff in there that you may want to check out. I was like, all right. So I walk into the room back there, and of course, we didn't know any better. We bought these video games and all this stuff for our oldest son. We was like, hey, just video games, just entertainment. He's just back here having fun. I mean, isn't it normal to buy video games where people are pulling the spinal cords out of people and, you know, holding them up and ripping their heads off and shooting cops and all that stuff? I mean, that's normal entertainment today. Anybody think that's normal? Because in the world, it is. Amen? That's normal. Violence, killing, blood, that's normal entertainment to our young people today. We sit here and wonder why schools are getting shot up. And y'all keep the school in Florida lifted up. That, Father, you would be with those families and comfort each and every one of them in the name of Jesus. That, Father God, I ask that not one death be in vain. But I'm asking, Father God, that your spirit would move. And then, Lord, I know that 17 young people's lives, I believe it was 17 people's lives were lost. But I pray, Lord, that a harvest of souls be great. In Jesus' name. I walked into the bedroom and I reached over behind the computer screen, one of them big old monitors, you know, them big monitors like that, they got them thin ones nowadays. Back in these days, they're about that long. And I reached in behind it and I pulled out some books, and it was Harry Potter and Dungeons and Dragons and magazines telling kids how to play these video games, unleash your inner. I'm going to tell you, Mom, Dad, you think Harry Potter's just entertainment? You think Dungeons and Dragons is just entertainment? You think all these movies and all this stuff out there with witchcraft and demons and all of this stuff in it is just entertainment? I'm telling you, this is the devil's way to sneak into the house of unknowing people in order to take them captive. We must understand this, Harry Potter. And here is the deal. If you sit here and say, well, I don't see no problem with it, that's proof it's already got you. If you don't see any problem with the things that God says to stay away from, something ain't stirring the Kool-Aid. Right? And those are, and isn't it amazing? I mean, let's just check this out. Let's just think about this. If somebody's an alcoholic and they're going to AA, what does AA tell them not to be around anymore? Okay? How come, why is this? Why is it that a person will sit there and say, I love Jesus, I believe in Jesus, I just don't go to church? How come, though, that a person will spend their time vesting into these video games, vesting into this, vesting into that, but they have absolutely no desire to read the Word of God, absolutely no desire to pray? How come they've got a desire to be involved with everything that opposes God, but have no desire to be involved with things of God? The reason that is because the God of this world, according to Corinthians 4:4, has blinded them. And the only way that that blinder can be removed, it's not by buying them another video game, it's not by worldly counseling, it's not by psychology, it's not by none of that mess. The Bible says the only way that those blinders can be removed is through the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. I know we don't like to talk about demons today. Most churches say, there's denominations out there that say that demons can't control people's lives. I'll tell you what, I was bound up by so many of them for so long. Some folk just been saved their whole life, seems like. I heard a preacher say this the other day. He said, you ever seen them people that are oversaved? He said, you'd be like, I can't find the keys to my car. And he goes, oh, no, you need the keys to the kingdom. That's what you need. They oversaved. That's what he's saying. But there's some folks that have never experienced this. They've never been through some of these things. So it's kind of foreign to them. Amen? So let me read on. I kind of got off on that. Did any of that make any sense? Amen? All right. Let's see here. Let's go down to, let me go on down here. Saul disguised himself, put on a raiment. That's in 1 Samuel 28. I'm going to Acts chapter 16 tonight. Let's jump on down there. It's already 8:19. So here we are in Acts chapter 16. We got starting out in 16, Timothy joins Paul and Silas. And then starting out in verse 6, you got the Macedonian call where Paul sees a vision to go to Macedonia. And then it goes on through, and as they're on the way to Macedonia, they get down by the river going to the place of prayer. And a certain woman, I'm in verse 14 here, and a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. So what had Paul done? Paul was speaking, and the Lord opened her heart. We must minister the gospel. It is the word that goes forth, amen, that opens the heart of people up, amen. It's the word of God. That's why when people sit here and say, well, I don't want to push them away, I don't, what? So you're going to tell me that the very thing that opens up the heart of a person, which is the preaching of the gospel, is the very thing you're not going to do because you don't want to push them away. Make sense? Amen. All right, so let's go on here. And it says, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Now, it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl, this woman was a slave, okay, possessed, that means that it controlled her, that this spirit, this slave girl, this spirit of divination, it possessed her. It controlled her. It had her very being. It used her. It lived in her. It directed her. She was under its influence, under its control. Amen? And I want you to understand something, people, that this still goes on today. And I would be willing to, this woman, now listen, this woman, it doesn't seem like that she was like the demons that were bound, or the two men that were in Gardenia that were bound to the tombstones. Remember where no chains could hold them, that they had break them, and they were cutting themselves with stones. Y'all remember that? And these men just looked demon-possessed. These men were running around naked, just looked out of their mind. I mean, you could look at them, and you knew something was wrong. Amen? But it doesn't say that about this girl. It doesn't say. A matter of fact, this girl was living amongst the people. It seems like she had a pretty good job in the business of fortune-telling. And it kind of reminds me of today when you go into cities and you're driving down the road and you see those little signs on those houses or in front of those buildings that says palm reading, fortune telling, tells all this, you know, all of these things. This is what this lady was doing. That's just a nicer way to cover it up now. Amen? She worked, and the gift that she had through this demonic influence made much money for her masters. In other words, what would they do? They would give her money in order to, under the influence of a familiar spirit, this demon spirit would speak through her to people. And it's no different today. If you ever walk into somebody's place of business where they got palm readers, or it says fortune telling, or tarot cards, or whatever it is, it's the same spirit that was working through this woman that is working through these people today. And nice people that don't know any better go in there, give their money to them in order to get their future read. And what they don't understand is they're allowing demons to step right into their life little by little. Little by little. It's crazy. Even when I wasn't saved, I knew to stay away from that stuff. Amen. I'd heard just enough when I was a kid, I'd do some methamphetamines and drink some whiskey, but I ain't going to no palm readers. Them folk are crazy right there. You know what we ought to do? We need to get a team up and start going to them and go in there. And when we get in there, start telling them about Jesus. Amen. I'll go do that. Anybody want to go? Amen. Y'all, you go on ahead. You go on ahead, Pastor Jeff. That's your call. We'd be grabbing them, y'all like, come on. Y'all pray we're going to find out who's really saved and not. You walk up in there preaching the Holy Ghost, you'd be walking out going, kick. You're like, we need to get you down here delivered Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m., be there. Light and darkness cannot live in the same place. All right, I'm playing with you, all right? Y'all know that's a joke, right? Yeah. Let's go on down here. Let's read. I'm sorry. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us. And when you look up that word met, it means aggressively. To meet aggressively. In other words, it wasn't like she was coming out going, hey, Chris, man, welcome. How you doing? Nice to meet you, bud. Nice to meet you. Good to see you. This must be Emily. Nice to meet you, Kobe. Nice to meet you, man. No, she met him aggressively. She was there to completely discredit them. Okay? That's what she went for. It's kind of like it. Well, let me read on here. And it says, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Brought her masters much profit. It says, and it came to pass, I'm reading it out of the King James now. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, which is a slave girl, possessed with the spirit of divination, which is the spirit of Python, which was known in Greek mythology for fortune telling, for telling people's future, met us, which means aggressively, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying or by fortune tellings. In other words, this was her job. This is how they made money. The same followed by Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. What? Most of us would be going, well, thank you. Thank you for recognizing the call of God on my life. Most of us would be like, going, come on. You want, come? You want a position in the ministry? I mean, she's saying, blessed are these men. She's bragging about them. She, listen to this. But listen, we got to back up. It says, which brought her a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination. The same followed Paul and us and cried. In other words, she was yelling out, these men are servants of the Most High God. Now, that's some truth. Paul and the people with him were servants of the Most High God. Now, I'm going to ask you this. If this woman that is possessed by a spirit of divination is walking beside Paul and them saying, these men are servants of the Most High God. In other words, saying something that seemed good, saying something that seemed right, saying something that to many, many people today would appreciate them saying, amen, but something wasn't right about it. And I've seen this happen many, many times within the walls of a building. I've seen this happen so many times. Preachers walking around and people walking around and proclaiming and naming and saying this and saying that and just spitting stuff up out of their belly and people grabbing a hold of it and loving it. And I'm going to tell you this. I believe this with all my heart. I believe that some so-called preachers are under the influence of the spirit of divination. Now, he says, watch, we got to be aware of this stuff. It says, this girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation. Wow. I mean, it sounds like this woman is preaching the gospel, doesn't it? But it was a spirit of divination that was there to take away from what Paul and his workers were doing. This spirit of divination, it was loud, it was crying out, bringing attention to itself. And I believe the reason that Paul ended up casting it out was in order to show that the spirit of God that lived in him was even stronger than that lying spirit that was dwelling in these people over here. Now listen to this, church. This is what we got to be aware of. That we hear things. And especially in the past year, I mean, I see stuff out there in the world, prophet so-and-so going to be there. And what ends up happening is we set these things up, and we say, prophet so-and-so going to be over here, and prophet so-and-so going to be over there. And then we set these things up, and usually when you go see these people, the pressure is on this person in such a great way that the pressure is on him that he's got to give somebody a word. He's got to say something instead of just preaching the gospel and letting the gospel do what the gospel does. So what ends up happening? He ends up bringing all these people up and speaks this word over them and speaks this word over them and speaks that word over them and speaks this word over. And I mean, just got words for everybody. And usually it's always got to do with something good, always got to do with some money, always got to do with some increase, always got to do with something good. And I'm not saying that there's not people out there that got a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom for people. I'm not saying that. I float in that many, many times. But here's what I am saying, church, is you and I have got to be prayed up and use the gift of discernment in order to recognize what is and what is not of God. Just because somebody says something that makes your flesh feel good, just because somebody says something over you that rings a bell, and just because somebody comes up to you and says something, that does not always mean it's by the Spirit of God. And people flock to it. Oh, I've had this word and 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 this word spoken over me. Yeah, but what does the word say? Amen? What does the word? And we get people chasing these words. And let me tell you something. We get them chasing these words more than they're chasing God. And it's sad. It's sad. Because their relationship with God is so void that they're looking for something and they don't even recognize it. Amen? So let's look here. And it says that those men who are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed us the way of salvation. This demon spirit spoke to this slave girl, basically mocking what Paul and them was doing. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Now, I want to ask you something. How many times somebody's walking around, following you around, going, ah, man of the Most High God proclaiming the way of salvation. How many of you turn around and say, you foul demon, come out? Most of us, like I said, put him on our ministry team. This person hears from God. And you know what the sad thing is? Because if, listen to me, what happens in the times, and the book of Peter tells this, is people that are driven by lustful desires, fleshy lustful desires, what they do is they preach about the things that they desire, whether it be money, whether it be wealth, whether it be this, whether it be never having no trouble, never having no struggles, they preach about the things that they desire, and it plays on the lust of our own flesh. See, we're not to preach in a way that feeds the flesh. We're to preach in a way that crucifies the flesh. Amen? So when we preach, if a preacher's standing up here preaching in a way that is all about your flesh gaining momentum, your flesh gaining the ways of the world, our flesh gaining this, our flesh gaining that, that whatever it is, then nowhere in the Bible says we're to crucify the flesh. So what ends up happening is that many times these people, they stand up, and that's because that's their desire, okay? Then what they do is when they preach at a cross, it taps into the fleshy desires of other people that the Word of God is not just enough for, amen? They want something else. And then what ends up happening is because the demon spirits that's on that boy knows the demon spirits that are on familiar spirits. Amen. That's why we see so many times through all of this word of faith and if through all of this word, name it, claim it, and all that stuff. That's the reason that the people are so connected and so tight together, because their demons know each other. Amen. I know that's not popular to say, but it's true. So what ends up happening? The lust and the desire, study this out in the book of Peter, that these people have, it incites the lust and the desires of the flesh, which causes people to follow that teaching because it's feeding their flesh. See, A teaching should never feed your flesh. It should feed your spirit. Amen? So, as we go on here, so what did Paul do? Paul cast this demon out in the name of Jesus. And when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul. I'm going to say something. This woman was walking around just saying the right things. But all of a sudden, when they saw that their hope of what was gone? Hope of what? Hope of what? Hope of what? Hope of what? Hope of profit, not P-R-O-P-H-E-T. Was gone. They said, let's throw these jokers in jail because they just exposed us. They just exposed us. So the enemy attacked in another way. See, when we start exposing demonic work, amen, be ready. Be ready. Amen. Let's stand up. I'm done for tonight. It's 8:35. So if you got this, if you've ever had these things going on, and that's what I want you to understand, church, we must pray, we must seek the Lord and say, God, show me what is and what is not of you. We must trust at times, or that the Holy Spirit, not at times, the gut feeling that's in us. Listen to that. Amen? We got to trust that. How many of you, man, you ever had a gut feeling about something, you didn't listen to it, and then it ended up happening, and you're just like, ah! Now the Holy Ghost slapped you upside the head. How many of you ever had a gut feeling about something, and you went ahead and did it? Amen? Sometimes it works out. Sometimes God may have you in that spot just to be a light in that person's life. Remember one time I was in a church, and a man was preaching, and just weird stuff was happening. Weird stuff, and as I sat back and watched, and I observed just stuff that was unbiblical, you know, stuff going on. I'm not saying that I've always hit it perfectly, biblically correct. As we grow in the knowledge of God, we grow. Amen. Because I believe things now that I used to not believe because I gained knowledge in God's Word. And there's things I don't believe now that I used to believe because I gained knowledge in God's Word. And we're going to continue growing that way if we're studying God's Word. Amen. But I remember as a man was preaching and some weird manifestations were happening that I just didn't have a good feeling in my gut about. And as I stood up and went to the back of the church, to the back of the room, and I was just sitting there observing people, and people rolling on the ground and flopping around, and some barking like dogs, and some growling, and just this uncontrollable, hysterical laughter, and just this stuff that many people think is a move of God. And as this man would walk around, he'd just slap people on the chest, and they'd fall out, or he'd hit them with something, they'd fall out, and go flopping and rolling and all of this stuff. And believe me, I believe in the power of God. And please understand, I believe in that stuff, amen? Not that stuff, but I believe in the power of God. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in healing. I believe in tongues. I believe in interpretation. I believe in the gift of faith, the gift of miracles. I believe in prophecy. I believe in the words of wisdom. I believe in the words of knowledge. I believe in the gift of interpretation. I believe in the moving and the operation of the Holy Spirit. I do, and I desire that we see it even greater in this church. But as I was watching this that night, it wasn't right. And a man come up to me, and as I was watching this preacher, I'm kind of studying him. Kind of figuring out what's going on here. And as the preacher gets closer to me, a man walks up to me and he goes, "You want the 110 or the 220? I said, "What?" He said, "You want the 110 or the 220? I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "Well, when the preacher comes over here and lays hands on you and slaps you, he goes, "You want 110 volts or you want 220 volts?" I said, "I'm going to tell you right now." I said, "I don't need your 110 or your 220. I got the Holy Ghost." And I said, "That man better not touch me. Shut the service down." And he looked at me and he thought I was joking. I said, "I'm telling you right now." I said, "I'm not playing with you." I said, "That man better not touch me." All of a sudden, all that laughing, all that flopping around, all that giggling, all that running that was going on, every bit of it stopped and they went. I said, "Wait a minute, I thought y'all was in the spirit. How in the world you go from being so uncontrolled in the spirit to where when one man in a room of 75 people says, 'Don't touch me,' all of a sudden you're like..." Got about from me to nourish. Started going back the other way. I looked at our men in the men's home and said, "Round up, let's go." I said, "Let's go." Folks, we must be aware. We must test the spirits. We must look at things. Amen. We must look at things. I know sometimes in church here, man, we may have a tongue interpretation. That's biblical. Amen. I believe that God can lay people on the floor and slay them in the spirit. I like it sometimes when somebody gets excited, takes off running around the room. But there's an order that goes to it. I like it when people are jumping and praising God and hooping and hollering and shouting and giving God glory. I can show you that in the Bible. But man, when it's just things that take away from God and magnifying Him, and it becomes about what a person's doing, and strange manifestations. You know, I thought people say, "Well, Kevin, I don't believe in that getting slain in spirit." Okay? I remember when Jesus in the book of John said, "I am," and 600 of them went down. People may say, "Well, Kevin, I don't believe in that running in the spirit." I remember when a man named Elijah outran a horse for 26 miles back to town. Amen. I guarantee you he wasn't running in the natural. Amen. I believe in the moves, the operative. But church, there's something going on out there today that people are so hungry for something that they're willing to fall for absolutely anything. And the enemy's tapped into that. He's tapped into that. Be aware. Pray. Ask the Lord to give you discernment. Amen. Especially young believers, because I got caught up in all that stuff when I was a young believer. I thought, "This is cool. This is cool. Check this out." And the Lord started growing me to him. I just kind of started feeling something, you know. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Father God, take this word, let it sink into our hearts, Lord. Lord, you know what? I've been busy yesterday. I've been busy today and didn't spend as much time in your word as I usually do preparing. So I'm asking you to take what was here, breathe upon it, bless it, increase it into the hearts of the people. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all. See y'all Sunday. Bring somebody with you. Amen.